Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a NFC divisional playoff win, Motown Monday, before the Commanders head to Philadelphia for the NFC championship game. That's right. We haven't said that around these here parts in quite a long time. Joining us now is our guy, former head coach of the Redskins, longtime NFL offensive coordinator and good all-around guy, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. All home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And with that, we welcome in Jay Gruden on the hotline. Jay, good afternoon. Happy NFC Championship for the Commanders Monday. How are you?
I'm doing great down here in chilly Florida.
Chilly Florida, my ass. Chilly Florida. Get lost, Jay. What is it, like 64 degrees?
Actually, it's cold. It's like 45.
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, Jay, don't break out the gloves and the scarf and the ice scrapers, you know, just yet. It was very cold when I got back home from Detroit last night, and it was quite cold standing outside of Ford Field in Comerica Park I guess that was early Sunday morning, waiting for the shuttle bus. But you know what? It felt pretty good because the Commanders, Jay, destroyed the Detroit Lions. You know, I didn't pick them to win. I thought they would lose by a field goal. I picked them to cover the number 9, 9.5, whatever people got it at. I thought it would be a close game, but never in my wildest imaginations could I have thought they were going to win that game and win it by 14.
Yeah, no, it's hard to pick that one. You know, Detroit coming off a bye, well-rested, come off a big win against Minnesota. They played great all season long. We all know about their injuries on defense, a few of their main players, but still, you know, to get the whooping like they got by Washington was – nobody could predict that one. That second quarter was as good a football played by one team in a quarter that I can remember a long time.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, did that remind you – like, I kept thinking of Doug Williams in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 22 against Denver – when he won the Super Bowl and he was the Super Bowl MVP and they scored 35 points in the second quarter. I thought of Robert, second quarter in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. Sometimes, I don't know how, it just, like, you come alive and you wake up and you smell the roses and everything pretty much goes right. And they gave up stuff, obviously, on defense, but from an offensive perspective and the defense contributing the pick six. I mean, like you said, you can't author a better script really than that.
Yeah, no, it was awesome to see, you know, and, you know, they came out not flat. I wouldn't say they came out flat, but they had a nice opening drive. They got stopped on the turnover and downs on the quarterback sneak by Mariota, and they drove down kicked the field goal. So 7-3, and it's the game was going kind of what people thought. And then they got the fumble, the big fumble by Jared Goff, and Armstrong was a huge play. I mean, that was a great front. They got Armstrong on the guard, which is their weak link. Their left guard is their weak link, I think, on the offensive line. And then everything, all hell break loose. You know, that's when the touchdown came, and then the interception for touchdown, and the confidence just started to rise and rise and rise. And you see them, the pep in the step. It was just a train on a train tracks, man. It just couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Armstrong. That was the third series. Jay, I go back to the first series, too. I'm curious on your thoughts before we talk about Jaden and the offense and everything. You know, that first series, Zane Gonzalez kicks the ball out of bounds. So you get the ball at the 40, which is not something you want to do against the Detroit Lions. Give them, you know, even more yardage or even less space to go, right? Because they can gobble it up pretty quickly, as we saw on several of those drives. And yet the defense comes out and pitches a three and out, and they were flying off the line of scrimmage. Dante Fowler in the backfield for a big run loss. Luvu had a big run loss stop on first down. Ball a little bit behind on third down, but pretty good coverage from Marshawn Lattimore against Tim Patrick. I mean, you know, that gets lost when you give up 500 plus yards and then you win a game by 14. But that was important, I thought, too.
Yeah, just show that they can make a stop. You know, nobody thought that Detroit could be stopped, and to get three and out on the first drive. Hell yeah, that helps the spirit of everybody on defense and offense. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of instances in this game you can point to, but just overall beatdown is what I witnessed from afar in Florida here watching it on television. It just it was a great thing to watch. It was, you know, defense did give up some hits. They gave up almost 500 yards of offense, but they made plays when they had to make plays. They created turnovers. And what can you say about offensively? Jaden Daniels just never makes the wrong play.
Yeah, before we get, again, more into him, how much do you think the loss of, I mean, we've talked about the loss of Aiden Hutchinson and Aleem McNeil, but early on in the game, they lose their starting quarterback, Amir Robertson, to a broken arm. Do you think that had a pretty major effect, or kind of subtle, or how do you kind of view that?
I think it was a major effect. You know, the outcome, I don't know how much it would have been different, but it was major because he did a great job in the last game against Justin Jefferson. Justin only had three catches, and he was the one traveling with them for the majority of the game. They had some double coverage on him as well, but he did an amazing job, and I imagine he was going to be the one trailing Terry throughout the game, and when he goes down, your plan has to kind of change. You play more zone, fire zones. You play more coverages may change when you don't have your best corner.
Well, I mean, to that point, excuse me, Austin Eckler said, hey, man, they play, I don't know if he was talking about before, but Robinson was hurt so early in that game, they played a lot more zone, right? And that's kind of like what you're just alluding to. I mean, if you don't have that guy to match up, then you have to maybe alter what you want to do. In addition, am I wrong on this, Jay? Usually, and Jaden doesn't seem affected by anything, but usually against younger quarterbacks, you want to throw more zone because it's harder to read and more confusing and more difficult for a young quarterback to dissect.
Yeah, especially against a running quarterback, you want to have eyes on the quarterback
so he
doesn't escape and gut you with his legs. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more zone this week from Vic Fangio and Philadelphia. He likes to play a lot of zone, and they'll sprinkle in some man, but, you know, they lost Quinyon Mitchell, so they'll probably be relegated to a lot of quarters and cover two and cover three and just try to change it up in that regard.
Yeah, that's a huge loss for them. We don't know, you know, exactly the status moving forward, but obviously a big part of it. Same with Jalen Hurts. More on that in a sec on the NFC Championship game. Jay Gruden joining us. He's brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So the Terry touchdown, I mean, listen, we've seen this team with the horizontal passing game all year. We saw it the first four plays. They were just getting the ball out of Jaden's hands, moving the ball on that first drive that you mentioned before they bogged down, and I thought a bad spot on the Jamison Crowder play. But the Terry touchdown, you know, it's 14-10 Detroit after Laporta's great catch in the back of the end zone. And again, you think, well, just when this game is starting to maybe get away from them a little bit, they come right back. They get the 58-yard score, but it was the blocking, I thought, by, I think it was OZ and Diami at the point of attack that was so crucial on that play, Jay.
Yeah, it was. And great job by Jaden getting out and putting in a perfect location. And then obviously Terry split them, and Joseph's safety had a terrible angle. And Terry just showed us why he's so valuable. He's got that burst, that explosion. He can get from 0 to 60 fast. And that's what he does. And that's what he did. And that's a big play in the game. And this is part of their offense. This is what they've done all year long. They have run alerts You know, if the Detroit loads up and stops the run, they flip out the bubble screen or two-man bubble screen, three-man surface, whatever it might be, and they've had a lot of success all year because their receivers are willing to block, and not many teams have this many type of receivers that are willing to stick their face in the fire for their partner to get the touchdown.
And when they talk, you know, like, I'm sure we talked about it at some point, but that was part of the reason why Jahan Dotson didn't work out with this regime, because he couldn't block on the perimeter, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't run the ball. You have to run away from him, or he just has to clear out the corner or whatever. You know, it's kind of a pain in the neck. So having those guys with that versatility, I'm sure that's why they signed Noah Brown, even though he got hurt. Because he's a big physical guy at the point of attack, and Deami's willing to do it, and OZ's willing to do it, and I know Jameson's willing to do it, and Terry's obviously willing to do it. So it makes everything balanced. You know, you can run screens to either side. You can run the ball to either side. Anybody can come dig out the safety if they load up the box. So, yeah, it helps out the play caller a lot. It takes a lot of stress off of his shoulders where he doesn't have to flip formations and do all the things necessary to get your best blocker in place when all of them can do it.
And Jameson Crowder, you just mentioned him. Again, I mentioned him on the bad spot. What's the deal with that, Jay? On the first drive, again, it's like 3rd and 13, and he catches the ball in the right flat, and he sprints ahead, and it looked like live from where I was, which is the opposite side of the field, that he gets it, that he dives. I went back and I watched it on replay, slowed it down. It still looks like he crossed, yet there was no challenge for the spot. There was no challenge. There was no, like, this stupid replay review thing that the NFL has that they don't use when it makes sense. They do use when it doesn't make sense. What is the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he had a first down clear, too. I was sitting, and then when I saw the quarterback, I kind of turned my head, and I just saw the quarterback sneak, and I what the hell happened? I thought he had the first down. Yeah, I think that's something, you know, you got to get from upstairs. Hey, is it worth challenging? They've been so good on fourth down. Maybe they thought this was a good fourth and one play. They could get the fourth down without risking losing a timeout.
Yeah.
But in the first half, I think a challenge probably would have been good there. But everything worked out.
It did. Speaking of that fourth down play, I wanted to spend a moment with you because I was confused on that. Again, went back and watched it. But live, I thought Marcus Mariota, like everybody seems to think B-Rob was at fault because he kind of banged into Marcus Mariota as Mariota kind of pulled back, if you will. What do you make out of that? Because it looked like he went forward first and then kind of like, wait a second. And everybody thought he was trying to pitch it back to B-Rob. How did you read that whole play out?
I don't know what to make of that play. I was confused. It looked like he was trying to pitch it back to Jaden. I don't know what the hell. He came in motion, took the snap, went forward, and then he looked back at B-Rob and Jaden. And I don't know. That's something Cliff will have to answer to. Mm-hmm. But it sure as hell looked like he was trying to pitch it for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Another key sequence in my eyes, Jay, like they call a phantom face mask on Dante Fowler. Just a terrible call again. I have no idea why we can't use replay review. That keys a drive because that was a third down run stop for negative yardage. Even Dan Campbell, as crazy as he is, wouldn't have gone for it. But Gibbs gets the 8-yard touchdown, and it's 31-28, and you think, oh man, this thing is just slipping away. And then they go on a 15-play drive, which we've seen this team do, and finish it off with a Brian Robinson 1-yard touchdown run, his second of the game. To me, the ability to answer almost every time on Saturday night and throughout the year is just incredible, and that just kind of broke the back, if you will, of Detroit.
They have all year been a great complimentary football team, defense for their offense and offense for the defense. That was a great time. If you ever needed to put together a long drive to give your defense a little bit of a boil, it was that time right there, because you see they're starting to get a little bit gassed. And a 15-play drive to eat up the clock, to freshen up the defense, and get everybody back involved. Yeah, you're right. I think that's a drive of the day. That might have been a drive of the season.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. 15 plays, 70 yards, 8:28, spanning the third quarter into the fourth quarter, and put them back up by 10. What did you make of Dan Campbell's decision to go onside kick with 5 minutes left to go, having all three timeouts plus the 2-minute warning, down 14 after they make the Bates field goal 45-31? Jay, with 5 minutes left, man, and as explosive as my offense is, even though it's been a bad night, I'm not giving, you know, basically the Commanders guaranteed the ball at midfield there. Am I missing something, or...
No, I think that was too early. I think you kick off, try to get a three and out. I know it's hard. You haven't been doing it all night, but I think you have your three timeouts, 2 minute warning, get the stop, and then obviously you have to use the onside kick on the second one. But yeah, that was a little early. The percentage is, plus you're up, you're down 14, and you're basically giving them a field goal attempt. I know Zane missed the field goal, but going down 17, the game's over. It's over.
You're right because you're right. I forgot about that missed field goal. Exactly. That's right. I forgot about that. They didn't stall out. I mean, they stalled out technically, but, they did have an opportunity, to add points. Yeah. I didn't like that, at all. And I don't know if that's what he was apologizing for, saying it was my fault or just in general the loss. But either way, it worked out in the Commander's favor. Jay Gruden is with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday as we rewind on an NFC division playoff win for the Commanders in Detroit. All right, you already mentioned a little bit, obviously, with the Eagles, third matchup. Jay, you know that organization. You know what it's like to take on a divisional opponent, so on and so forth. Jalen Hurts is banged up. Quinyon Mitchell is banged up. They barely got through Sean McVay and the Rams, and they needed elite performance from Saquon Barkley. What's an early read on the NFC Championship in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, all fingers point to Saquon and the running attack of Saquon and Jalen. If Jalen's banged up, that'll help a lot because Jalen had a nice hit. He had 70 yards rushing a touchdown. You know, they rushed for almost 300 yards consistently. I think they're number one or number two behind Baltimore. They're 1-2 in the National Football League as far as running the football, and that's the key. And that should open up things for A.J. Brown, but it really hasn't. That's the thing that makes you scratch your head. Why isn't A.J. Brown more of a factor to Devontae Smith when this running game is so potent? I mean, you think you'd be getting some unbelievable looks for these guys to have some big plays, but they're really not. They're not capitalizing.
They did have an important slant, though, right before that, I think, second Barkley touchdown, if memory serves. I was trying to watch the game on the plane. I think they did have a good slant to a short, quick slant on third down to A.J. Brown. But that was, to your point, that was about it.
That's it. Yeah, he dropped him a nice go ball, but he had two catches, and Devontae only had 4 for 21. And, you know, so, yeah, I think all eyeballs got to be on Saquon and Jalen in the backfield, and then they let the coverage guys stand up. Sanistrell's doing a good job. Obviously, Lattimore, I think they can stand up in a single high version and try to get Chin down there in the box, and let's stop Saquon and see if they can throw it to beat us.
And obviously, you know, one more on this game, just again, early read. I mean, Hurts had the big touchdown run early in the game. So clearly he was fine there and his legs were working and all that stuff. Then he gets banged up and it almost seemed like, okay, not only were they not running, with him, but they were not throwing with him as well. And it was really all about Saquon Barkley and just grinding it out, which again makes some sense. But as a play caller, or as a head coach, how do you know when to kind of have that balance and what you can do when your game plan, you spend all week in practice, game plan, all the film study preparing for this, yet my guy's not banged up enough to get him out of there, you know, and yet he can't really do what I need him to do.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a big dilemma they have. I mean, throwing for 129 yards in a game like this was, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is why they can't throw the ball better with the athletes that they have on the field. It's just in the offensive line. It's not like the quarterback's getting hit every time. I mean, they have a good offensive line, too. They have a good tight end. So they have a tight end presence. They have a great running back out of the backfield. They have two excellent wide receivers. So it's one of the mysteries we'll never know.
Well, maybe we'll find out more this Sunday in Philadelphia. Speaking of which, Jalen Carter, he's awesome. I think we all know that. But the Rams seemed to do a pretty decent job against him when they were doubling him, and as you would expect, right? And now with no Sam Cosmi, and boy, was that a brutal blow for Washington. I mean, would you expect, I assume, you know, Trent Scott is going to play right guard like he did in replace of Cosmi. Would you expect a ton of double teams every snap? How do you kind of design a plan to keep Jalen Carter, I guess, as limited as you can and not give up stuff to like Nolan Smith and Zach Bond and all those other guys who can fly around and make plays?
Yeah, I think if everything's equal, I'm sure they'll turn the protection to Jalen Carter, you know, unlike what the Rams did late in the game and they let him get one-on-one and sack fumble for Matthew Stafford. So that's what we got to try to avoid. So I'm sure Tyler, the center, will do a good job of directing his help to
Tyler Badass, Jay. Tyler Badass.
Yeah, love that guy. I'm sure he'll do the best he can. And sometimes that'll put your back in arms, or, you know, your back will have to step up and block a blitzing linebacker from time to time. But you're better safe than sorry. Very similar when, you know, we went against Aaron Donald, some of the great defensive linemen. You got to try to do the best you can to get four hands on that guy every time.
Yes, sir. Jay Gruden with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, before we let you go, thought on the Baltimore-Buffalo game last night. I mean, listen, I know Lamar wasn't great outside of the first drive and the final drive, but as not great as he was, that one ain't on him. Unfortunately, that's on Mark Andrews, not only the drop of the two-point conversion, which is right in his hands, but also the fumble earlier on a big catch, and then he had a drop of a wide open. That drop didn't hurt them because they scored after that, but my goodness, what a nightmare for Mark Andrews last night.
Yeah, it's tough to be Mark Andrews today. You know, they played their ass off coming back and getting themselves in position to send it to overtime. You know, I don't know if it would have gone because Josh Allen still had a minute 20 left. But they weren't moving the ball that easily on Baltimore's defense. But, yeah, that's a shame to watch. But that just goes to show you how impressive Washington has been. They don't turn the ball over. As much as Jaden Daniels touches the ball and the receivers and tight ends and backs, zero turnovers again. All four teams that won, none of them had a turnover, so that's a very important part of the game. So hats off to these four teams. I think that's going to be a critical point moving forward for all four teams. The team that protects the ball will be the team that wins because they're all close games.
You know, they did turn the ball over five times against Philadelphia last time and still scored 36 points, which is pretty scary.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty scary. Quick thought before we spring you loose on Houston and Kansas City. I mean, that game pretty much played out, you know, kind of the way I think most people expected. And I know there were some controversial calls against Houston. I was trying to watch that while doing a show from Ford Field, so I wasn't totally locked in on that game. But what did you see there?
I saw an offensive line had no clue how to pick up a blitz. Stroud was sacked eight times. They couldn't kick a field goal, and they don't deserve to win. If you can't protect the quarterback, you don't know where the free runners are going. Spagnuolo is a very good defensive coordinator, but there's no reason to have that many free runners in the quarterback's face. So they got to figure out a way to pick up blitzes, and teams moving forward. Buffalo, I'm sure, will have a plan, and I'm sure Washington or Philadelphia have a plan against Spags. But eight sacks, a couple missed field goals. You don't deserve to win there, Chris. You just
I'm with you. And Buffalo and Kansas City, another round. Josh Allen and the Bills won in Buffalo in the regular season. And now we'll see at Arrowhead. And, of course, the Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. Sure helps to have a quarterback now, doesn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it does. I mean, in Detroit, they tried their tails off the blitz, Jay. And Jay just stands back there and drops it to the right guy every time and doesn't get sacked.
Cool as a cucumber. Cool as a cucumber, for sure. Jay, thank you as always. Great to catch up with you, and enjoy the week. And, man, it's a lot of fun up here, and we'll see if the ride can continue on the way to New Orleans.
All right, Chris, thanks for having me.
There you go. That is Jay Gruden, brought to you by, again, the Ted Britt Automotive Group, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven. Easy for me to say. By the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. Again, the Commanders win 45-31 on Saturday night in Detroit, advance to the NFC Championship game where they will play the Philadelphia Eagles for a third time this year, and it's yours right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock via our friends at Westwood One Sports. When we return, we're going to hear from Commanders owner Josh Harris. A very quick catch up with him outside the Commanders locker room, along with Ben Standing of The Athletic. That's next, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us on a Victory Motown Monday. NFC Divisional Playoff win for the Washington Commanders. They're off on their way to the NFC Championship game, which you can hear right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on Sunday via our friends at Westwood One from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia for a third time this year. All right, before we get to clean up on aisle three and dum-dum of the day, we will get to this. Commanders owner Josh Harris was hanging out with his family and friends and an actor that I didn't know, Jeffrey Ryan. I didn't know. Not a big movie guy. And Ben Standing and I were just kind of stalking him. And we said, hey, Josh, can you come and talk to us? And luckily enough for us, he did. So you get to hear it right now.
With Josh Harris, I mean, you're going to the NFC Championship in your second full year as owner. What does this feel like?
I'm elated. I'm so happy for the DMV. I can't imagine what's going on there. I'm so happy for these guys. I mean, I just listened to the sounds in the locker room. I couldn't leave.
I know that you guys, this team was talking about their brotherhood all year, and that gets typically only so far. When for you were like, hey, wait a minute, this may not just be a recalibration, this may be something like this.
Listen, we had when DQ and Adam came, right? We knew, and we went to the draft, went to free agency, and then we ended up with this group of guys, and it started built. And so, what I said last time, culture, talented people. You know, when you have the right people, and I've been talking to a lot of people, what's going on in that locker room is different. It's different.
What do you think your 15-year-old self would be thinking right now?
I'd be elated and out. You know, like this has been a long time coming for the DMV, and I'm so happy to be part of it. And I'm so happy to be part of it for these guys, and they earned it. And let's go. One game from the Super Bowl, right?
One game. I know you're going to deflect, but like Ben said, you know, you grew up here, you're a fan, everything. You bought the team. To put it all into perspective, how do you explain this journey?
You can't put it in perspective. You just can't. I mean, you can't really put it in perspective. The notion that we would win four games last year and be in the NFC Championship. And look, you know, Jaden's a special guy.
But it's happened because of him.
Thank you, man.
It's happened because he made it possible.
Thank you.
Well
done. Thank you. Congrats. Well, let's go. I look forward to seeing you wherever we are, LA or Philly.
We'll be there.
We're Team of Destiny.
Congratulations.
Let's make it happen. DMV, let's celebrate, man. Like, bask in this. It doesn't happen that much. Let's all celebrate together tonight.
So that was Josh Harris Saturday night after the game outside of the Commanders locker room. And you may have heard in that little spot there with Penn Standing and myself, that was Jeffrey Wright jumping in there at the end. Of course, the actor and longtime Commanders / Redskins fan. A nominee for an Academy Award. Again, he's a Washington, D.C. native and obviously very proud of his team. So that's who jumped in there at the end and gave all the credit to Josh Harris, as certainly he deserves a lot of credit. So again, wanted to bring you that interview. If you want to see the video of it, make sure you check out my Twitter timeline. It's up there at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. If you want to see the video of a very happy and relieved owner. And a bunch of people have, said, well, boy, not only has the complete organization changed and look at us, going to the NFC Championship game, but the owner's a human being. The owner's a human being. And he chose to talk to us. He didn't have to. I asked him. And he accepted. Whether he wanted to or not, he didn't have to say yes. He could have said, nah, I want to hang out with my family, and I would have totally understood. He chose to speak with us. We didn't keep him for long, but was very happy to have that for you. So, again, if you want to see the video, check it out on the timeline at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. And, again, a cameo, if you will, a supporting actor contribution from Jeffrey Wright, longtime Washington NFL fan and D.C. native. All right, let's get to a trending alert. Final one of the afternoon right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, everybody, welcome back right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Leading up to Craig Hoffman coming up at 4. Actually, Craig with a short show today. Probably the wrong day to do it. But Hoyas basketball starts at 5:45 because they're on the road in Philadelphia against Villanova. Is anybody else on the road in Philadelphia this week? Wait a second. Again, Sean Hockley has been named the head official. The last time we saw Sean Hockley around these here parts, that New Orleans debacle at the end. There was another controversial call or non-call. I can't remember. I'm going to have to look it up in that game that drove me crazy. But Sean Hockley and his crew butchering that at the end of the game, and it almost cost the Washington Commanders. All right, so Craig's coming up at 4 o'clock. Right now, we wrap up the show with cleanup on aisle 3. Cleanup on aisle 3. Normally, we have a big fancy production and all that stuff. Well, it's not big and fancy. I hope Matt's okay with it.
There it is.
I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle 3.
Clean up on aisle 3. All right, well, we're going to start clean up on aisle 3 with something that we don't always get. Breaking news just crossing what they used to call, back in my younger days, the wire. Well, now it just crosses social media. Adam Schefter first to report the Chicago Bears are finalizing a deal to hire Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson as their next head coach. That obviously is huge for the Bears. And you would think Caleb Williams. Listen, I know I've been critical of Ben Johnson since, of course, the way he kind of handled the whole situation with the Commanders and other teams, but also because I think largely their offense is built because of the talent that they have. The scheme, the structure is very good. Nobody would deny that. They run a ton of trick plays as they did on the Jameson Williams, fake end around, whatever you want to call that, touchdown. But it also came back to bite them in the ass when they again tried to be fancy and sexy, and it blew up in terms of an interception. Now, listen, Detroit's offense and the structure and the scheme is not why they lost that game. Clearly, turnovers were the reason why they lost that game. So I'm not going to sit here and be stupid and blame it on Ben Johnson. But it did have a factor, right? It did have a factor. Sometimes you get a little too greedy. Sometimes you go to the well a little bit too long or much. And, you know, whether that's going to happen with Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, I don't know. It's interesting that he stays in the division. It's interesting to me that he doesn't go to Tom Brady and the Las Vegas Raiders. There were a lot of rumors about that. It's interesting that if he's going to Chicago, what happens to their general manager, Ryan Poles, who you would think, right, that Ben Johnson has been connected to Lance Newmark, who is interviewing again tomorrow for a second time with the New York Jets. He was ticketed, according to the rumors and speculation over the weekend, that perhaps the two of them would go to Vegas. And why this is interesting and why I don't know what's going on here in Chicago and why he was so quick to take this job is this. I don't know if they're going to fire their general manager. And I thought all along, man, if you're hiring Ben Johnson, you are doing what Ben Johnson wants. Ben Johnson was going to call all the shots. And maybe that, you know, maybe that's why he chose Chicago over Vegas. I don't know. But interesting, because again, I thought he would wield a Kyle Shanahan type power here. Now, we don't know the contract. Maybe it's 6 years. I would imagine it's going to be 6 years and not 4 or 5 years, and for a ton of money for a first-time head coach. But I thought he would bring in his own GM. And now the question is will that indeed happen, assuming this deal becomes official, with Ben Johnson staying in the NFC North and going from the Detroit Lions to the Chicago Bears? So obviously still a lot of questions in that regard for the new Bears head coach as he goes from, again, Detroit to Chicago. One game we didn't talk a whole lot about in this show, because obviously the Commanders win deserved most of our attention, is that Bills-Baltimore game last night. We did touch on it with Jay Gruden. And listen, I've heard a lot of stuff about Lamar Jackson. Oh, he comes up short in big games. I heard a lot last night on Infinity Sports Radio. I forget who the host was. I heard John Harbaugh needs to be fired because he can't get his team to play crisper football. You guys are out of your mind. I know Lamar didn't play great last night, but he was tremendous on the first series of the game, one, on the touchdown drive to Rashad Bateman, and he was awesome on the final drive, and he put it right in the breadbasket for the two-point conversion. Should have been a tied game. Buffalo may have won because they had plenty of time on the clock for Josh Allen to operate. Maybe they win. Maybe they win in regulation. Maybe they win in overtime. And we're all talking about an epic game. Instead, we're talking about, oh, Lamar Jackson failed again in the playoffs. Listen, did he have his best game? Of course not. He did not have his best game. But he played well enough at the beginning and certainly well enough on that final drive to put Baltimore in a position to be tied 27-27 with about a minute and a half left to go. And then you take your chances from there and you figure it out from there. Unfortunately, Mark Andrews, who's a tremendous football player, I don't know how he's going to kind of get past that in the fans' minds and whatever. I'm sure his teammates will be fine. As frustrating and as crappy as that is, again, he had the drop on the first series, which didn't ultimately haunt them. He had the catch and punch out fumble by Buffalo on a drive right around midfield, and then he of course had the drop, which was not a non-catch. That is as drop of a drop as a drop as a drop that you can possibly get. And unfortunately, that's what happens, right? Sometimes athletes, great pass catchers. We all know how good Mark Andrews is. Sometimes they just have probably their worst play or their worst game of their NFL career at the wrong time. And that's exactly what happened to him last night in Buffalo. Buffalo did not necessarily beat Lamar Jackson and or John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens beat themselves. And certainly no head coach deserves to get fired because of that. So I just wanted to spend a couple of moments on that before we run out of time here. One other thing that I wanted to get to, and that is Logan Thompson. Again, mentioned it during the trending alert. He is the NHL's number one star of the week. Had back-to-back shutouts and then the win against Pittsburgh on Saturday night. I didn't get to see any of that game because obviously was a little bit busy in Detroit covering the Commanders and the Lions. But great job overall for Logan Thompson and the Washington Capitals, who just don't seem to skip a beat, right? I mean, no Charlie Lindgren. They were rotating all year long, and then Logan Thompson steps in and has just been amazing. And right now, the Washington Capitals are, in terms of their positioning, 67 points, 7 points clear of Toronto through 46 games played. They've got a game in hand on Toronto. They've got two extra wins in regulation, 31-29. They've got six less losses and, again, a seven-point bulge right now, and a couple of, as we mentioned, more regulation wins for the Capitals, who beat the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday night. And next up, they are in Edmonton tomorrow night, late night, 9 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. So we'll see what a West Coast road trip brings as they go out there. And you would expect Logan Thompson once again to be in the pipes. All right, when we come back, we'll finish it up. A little dum-dum of the day to wrap things up with us here on a Martin Luther King holiday Monday and a victory Monday, as the Commanders are heading to the NFC Championship in Philadelphia. Again, a reminder, you'll hear it all week. You can listen to the NFC Championship game this Sunday at 3 o'clock via our friends at Westwood One Sports on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, wrapping things up here on a Motown Monday, a victory Motown Monday, as the Commanders keep their season alive with a dominating effort, pull-away effort, 45-31 Saturday night in Detroit. If you missed any of the show, we had Josh Harris, conversation with him, post-game along with Ben Standig, as well Dante Fowler, Austin Eckler, and Jonathan Allen, all from the locker room. Make sure you check out the podcast, theteam980.com. Just go to the podcast section and or on the Odyssey app, where you have everything labeled, cut up for you. You can download it, you can listen, whatever. It counts, and we need you, and we want you to listen and check everything out. Coming up next, Craig Hoffman will take you through 4 o'clock, and he'll take you through to Georgetown basketball. But we wrap things up today with a little twist on Dum Dum of the Day. One really, really, really nightmarish story, and then one kind of football story.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Now, did you see the Houston Texans player that went bonkers on his special teams coordinator for taking off his helmet after causing a fumble on the opening kickoff of the game? Man, listen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of ways to express your frustration, to show your excitement, to show whatever you were trying to show. Try not to hit your coach. That's not a good look. It's not a good way to go. And obviously it was a disappointing loss for Houston. As you heard Jay Gruden mention, you just can't get sacked 8 times, even against the Steve Spagnuolo Kansas City Chiefs defense. Now you need every point you can get, obviously, but boy, was that a dumb move. Now, before we do that to kind of soften the blow, because this story via the New York Post, which I had not heard about, but it is pretty ugly. Anthony Newton. Not Anthony Haney. No, no, no. Anthony Newton, a 45-year-old man, is now charged in the murder of another man, Ulysses Cesar Molina, whose burnt, dismembered body was found in a lot outside of Las Vegas way back in 2017. Now, the reason why this is really bad and why this falls into dum-dum category is the man who he murdered, allegedly, was with his wife and impregnated the alleged perpetrator's wife while the alleged perpetrator was locked up in prison. And, you know, while this is a gruesome story, one more thing that we have to pass along. The victim's hand was found chopped off and found by a five-year-old boy in a mailbox. I don't make this up. Certainly not one to deliver news like this. Pretty gruesome activities here that are alleged. But my goodness, you have got to have a major, 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 major problem of some kind to have that kind of anger and hate in you. So for that, unfortunately, we had to deliver that. And we have to say, sir, you are the dumb dumb of the day.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dumb dumb of the day.
All right, before my voice totally goes out on me, I'm going to wrap things up. Again, Sean Hockley has been named the NFC Championship head official. The last time we saw him around these here parts was at the end of that New Orleans game in New Orleans for the Commanders. You all remember there. Coming up tomorrow, the DOC will join us, and we'll see what else we can scratch up in between now and then. That's at 1 o'clock. Craig Hoffman, and then Georgetown basketball is next. Have a great night right here on the Team 980. And the Odyssey app.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.